This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by the Zona Plus, an effective non-drug treatment for high blood pressure. I use it with my patients at the Hoffman Center all the time. As a listener to Intelligent Medicine, the company is offering you special savings of $50 and free shipping. To find out more, go to tryzonanow.com or call toll-free 1-866-669-9662. Be sure to mention Dr. Hoffman to get your $50 savings and free shipping. That's 1-866-669-9662 or tryzonanow.com.
Welcome to another podcast edition of Layla Weighs In. I hope you're all doing well. In the summer, we're in the thick of it here in August. It's hot, but it's summer. I like it. It's good. It's my favorite season. I want to bring to you today a lot of different news, a lot of different, I'm always scouring the scientific literature for gems, for clinical pearls, for things that you should know, things that I should know in helping to treat our patients and clients. So let me tell you, and this is something you probably already know, but it's worth discussing. Fructose feeds fat, and that this simple carbohydrate, fructose, is linked to increases in body weight and fat deposits, all of that. But you're probably saying, but fructose is in my fruit. Yeah, it's in your fruit. But it's because of the ever-increasing presence of high fructose corn syrup in prepared foods. Fructose, yes, it's a simple carbohydrate that comes from our fruit and some of our vegetables, but it's become a predominant component of the standard American diet, as you know, as high fructose corn syrup. You can't remember the Stone Age, right? But our Paleolithic ancestors maybe consumed, and only when fruit was available, maybe 16 to 20, 25 grams of fructose in a day, for example, when fruit was available. But today, because of such a high presence of high fructose corn syrup, we're getting as much as 100 grams. And what this does is it can cause more deposits of fat in the liver. A high fructose corn syrup intake all by itself can increase fatty liver, besides overweight and obesity. Researchers from the Becken Institute for Advanced Science and Technology at the University of Illinois studied two groups of mice for 2.5 months. One group was fed a diet in which 18% of the calories came from fructose, mimicking the intake of a typical American teenager, okay? And the other group of mice was fed 18% from glucose. Now, not only did the fructose-fed mice display significantly increased body weight, liver mass, and fat mass, in comparison to the glucose-fed mice, they were also less active. Well, that kind of makes sense, right? If your body weight is increasing, you're going to become more sluggish and move around a whole lot less. So the study authors report that the present study suggests that fructose per se, in the absence of taking in too many calories, still increases fat deposition and potentially reducing physical activity. Now, an interesting thing that we find in many of our patients is that triglyceride levels, or you may wonder yourself when you go to the doctor or your cardiologist and they check your cholesterol, your LDL, your HDL, your triglycerides, the ratio, your cholesterol ratio, all of that, you may wonder why your triglycerides possibly fluctuate. Maybe they're higher in the summer than they are in the winter. If you're following a healthy, moderate, Mediterranean-based or a lower-carb diet, your triglycerides will tend to be lower. But guess what? Triglycerides tend to go up in summer. You know why? Those wonderful summer fruits. People are eating more fruit. People are opting for lighter fare. They don't want to eat a heavy, fat-laden meal. They opt for more fruit. And many people are opting for more juice, organic juices, smoothies, all of that. Well, guess what? That accumulated fructose in your daily diet will push up your triglycerides. That's the liver churning out more fat, and it's in direct response to all that fructose. So when I say to you that the mantra of eat your fruits and vegetables really needs to change to eat your vegetables and some occasional fruit, I really mean that. Your vegetable intake should really be double your fruit intake. Don't necessarily increase your fruit intake all that much more in the summer. Of course, you can on occasion. Watermelon is so delicious, right? But stay away from juice, or keep it at an absolute minimum. Only have it occasionally, because remember that fructose does feed fat. I do warn all of my patients who already have a fatty liver or are insulin resistant or are overweight or obese, all of the above, I do limit their fruit intake in the beginning, especially for those secreting much more insulin than would be normal, those with hyperinsulinism. I tell them, you know what? Stop eating fruit for the next 2 weeks or so. And the insulin tends to come down to normal. We're able to reverse fatty liver disease that way as well. I'll talk more about non-alcohol related fatty liver disease in a later podcast. So that's one bit of news about fructose. So scientists have found a new supplement can shut down junk food cravings, that a gut bacteria-based supplement can reduce the food reward brain activity. That's dopamine, everybody. Dampening cravings for high-calorie foods, this new supplement. Let's see. So we all wish that there was a way to curb our cravings for those naughty foods that, you know, we would love to have, but we know that aren't so great for us. Well, researchers from the University of Glasgow in Scotland and the Imperial College in London have developed an inulin propionate ester supplement that uses a fiber called inulin. You may have heard of this before. Containing propionate, which is a molecular compound released by the gut bacteria, our microbiota, in our intestines. This sends signals to the brain, which can make a person feel full, reducing appetite for high-calorie foods. So the digestion of just inulin has been documented to release the appetite-suppressing propionate by gut bacteria, but taking inulin propionate ester releases a greater amount of propionate in the intestines, and this has a greater effect on appetite and weight gain. So the team study had volunteers drink a milkshake with either this new supplement or just a dose of regular inulin. They took MRI scans of their brains while being shown pictures of different foods. Those who had digested the new supplement showed less brain activity in the parts linked to reward when they were shown pictures of food with high calories. The same group then enjoyed a big bowl of pasta and tomato sauce until they were satisfied. Those who had the supplement in the first experiment ended up eating 10% less food than those who had only an inulin supplement. So the inulin propionate ester in this new supplement, the authors are saying, releases a greater amount of propionate in the intestines, and that can have a greater impact on appetite, helping to diminish appetite, and of course, weight gain. Well, you've heard of inulin. Inulin is a FODMAP. FODMAP, you've heard me talk about FODMAPs before. For those who may have SIBO or irritable bowel syndrome, a FODMAP, that's the acronym for fermentable oligosaccharides, disaccharides, monosaccharides, and polyols. Inulin is a FODMAP, so this may be problematic. I remember there was a time, it might have been a year, 2 years ago, for those of you who know, email me, they were putting inulin in some food products such as yogurt. But then the public or consumers started to complain of GI distress, various GI distress signals. So food companies began to take it back out. Inulin can be problematic in a lot of people. So, and because it's a FODMAP, I do like, instead, if you're looking for an appetite suppressant, there are two things that I like to use. One is L-glutamine, and this is really to help with sugar craving. L-glutamine is an amino acid which is the preferred fuel by the gastrointestinal tract. L-glutamine is even given in hospitals to patients with compromised GI function. So L-glutamine is a very important amino acid for gut health, but it has the wonderful side effect of reducing sugar cravings. In the scientific literature, L-glutamine has been shown to reduce craving for alcohol. You know that alcohol is a proxy for sugar. Those who are recovering alcoholics, often that craving is now transferred to the original craving that Mother Nature gave all of us, which is sugar craving. So, another supplement that I do like to help suppress appetite, it also helps to balance blood sugar, reduce food cravings. I love Welbedex PGX for this reason. And what it is some soluble fiber that's been put together using an advanced proprietary technology. Basically, it's a blend of konjac manan, okay? So, alginate, mulberry in a powdered extract. These can be very, very helpful. And what you do is you take 2 to 4 capsules taken with a cup or two of water 5 to 10 minutes before meals. And it helps to fill up your stomach. And when our stomach is full, the appetite, the hunger hormone ghrelin, is also reduced. And you will tend to take in less food, therefore less calories, at your next meal. I love Welbedex for this reason. And the L-glutamine supplement, you know, sometimes 500 milligrams of L-glutamine is not enough. You may have to take, you know, 1,500 milligrams 2 to 3 times a day in between meals. And those with really a high degree of sugar craving or intractable sugar craving, I will often recommend that in addition, if they are having cravings throughout the day, to take additional L-glutamine, wait 15 minutes, and then go eat some protein and fat. Go eat that chicken drumstick that you didn't finish at dinner the night before, or that lamb chop or that pork chop. Okay. Moving on. Another study. Nuts may negate health risks, death risks. Nuts may negate risk of death. Consuming 10 grams of nuts daily may lower death risk from respiratory and neurodegenerative diseases. 10 grams of nuts daily. Let me give you a reference point. 15 grams is half an ounce of nuts. So 10 grams of nuts daily helps to lower your risk. If 23 almonds is an ounce, half that is going to be what? 11 almonds? So 15 grams is 11 almonds. 10 grams is way less than that. You do the math. So consuming a small amount of nuts daily can help. Previously, a number of studies report that consumption of various types of nuts may reduce risk of cardiovascular-related death. Piet van den Brandt from Maastricht University in the Netherlands and colleagues surveyed 120,852 men and women ages 55 to 69 years enrolled in the Netherlands cohort study for dietary and lifestyle habits, and deaths were tracked using a national database. What the data revealed was that men and women who eat at least 10 grams of nuts or peanuts per day, we're talking about 8 or so almonds, maybe 5 walnuts, maybe 7, have a lower risk of dying from several major causes of death as compared to people who don't consume tree nuts or even peanuts. But this reduction in mortality was strongest for those with respiratory disease, you know, COPD, whether it's something like emphysema or chronic bronchitis, neurodegenerative diseases, we're talking about brain diseases or ALS, we're talking possibly about Alzheimer's, we're talking about MS, multiple sclerosis, and diabetes. So the reductions were seen were most strong for these particular conditions, followed by cancer and cardiovascular disease. Interestingly, peanuts showed at least as strong reductions in mortality as tree nuts, but peanut butter did not associate with mortality. That's very interesting. When you're eating nuts, make sure to get them organic, especially peanuts. Peanuts tend to be associated with a lot of mold and the byproduct of that, which is aflatoxin, which can be hard on the liver. So keep that in mind. Eat some nuts. It's less than a half ounce, and you get so much protection. This is nature's original functional food, one of my favorite portable snacks. Always have it available. More from the literature. Safe grilling secret revealed. Marinating meats in beer before grilling them helps to reduce levels of cancer-causing compounds. Now, you've already heard that marinating your meat in a citrus-based marinade can help reduce the formation of the polycyclic aromatic hydrocarbons, the PAHs. These are substances that form when meats are cooked at very high temperatures, like on your backyard grill here in summertime. So, previous studies have suggested an association between consumption of grilled meats and a high incidence of colon and rectal cancer. These polycyclic aromatic hydrocarbons, PAHs, which form when we cook meat at very high temperatures on a grill, okay, can cause these carcinogenic compounds to form when we grill. So, from the Universidad de Porto in Spain and colleagues, researchers there grilled samples of pork marinated for 4 hours in Pilsner beer, a non-alcoholic Pilsner beer, or a black beer ale, a dark beer is what we're talking about, to well done on a charcoal grill. So they marinated pork for 4 hours in Pilsner beer, non-alcoholic Pilsner beer, or a black beer ale, and they cooked the pork to well done on a charcoal grill. You want to cook your pork to melt to well done. Black beer had the strongest scavenging activity, reducing the levels of 8 major polycyclic aromatic hydrocarbons by more than half as compared with unmarinated pork. So the study authors write that black beer marinade was the most efficient on reduction of polycyclic aromatic hydrocarbon formation, providing a great mitigation strategy. This is great. Who doesn't have beer while they're grilling out back? Well, I could think of a lot of men who do. Anyway, so but especially a dark beer, a black beer. That could be Guinness, it could be stout, it could be Spaten, it could be like a Dos Equis or some kind of dark beer ale, a black beer ale. If you marinate your meat, now they marinated it in this study for 4 hours. You may not need to marinate it that much. You may get the benefit from marinating it for an hour or so. Do that with your meat and see how it turns out. It can help to reduce. The other thing about grilling is you don't want to cook on a high heat. Low and slow is best so that you can reduce the amount of char on your meat. We don't have to grill our meat at a high temperature. We could do it on low. You're simply going to cook it for longer, and maybe you're going to turn it a little more frequently. And, okay, so these are some of the revelations in recent news in science. And I thank you for joining me once again on another edition of Layla Weighs In on the Intelligent Medicine Network. I invite you all to email me with any of your questions and comments, particularly on topics you may be interested in. Thank you for joining me. This is Layla Mutin, RD. I see patients every day here at the Hoffman Center. If you require a nutrition consult with me, but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone consultations with clients from all over the country. Please visit drhoffman.com for more information. And to set up an appointment, call 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.